Praise the Lord. Galatians 5 and verse 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." God's Word translation says it this way: Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Therefore, be firm in this freedom and don't become slaves again. The Message says it this way: Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Amen. Hallelujah. So today the title of the message is Freedom in Four Realms. Freedom in four realms. These four realms are this: the spiritual realm, the political realm, the third one that I call the physical and emotional realm, and fourthly, the financial realm. God wants you and I to live and walk in freedom in these four realms. Number one, the spiritual realm. Number two, the political realm. Number three, the physical and emotional realm. And number four, the financial realm. And it struck me about how emphatic the Holy Spirit was writing through the Apostle Paul here, how he emphasized and how emphatic he was about making this these points. Number one, Christ has made us free. Amen. Christ has made you free. Yes. Hallelujah. And then number two, he was just as emphatic about this: stand fast in that freedom. Be firm, he says. God's Word says, be firm in this freedom. Take your stand. Don't let anything or anyone take that freedom away from you. Amen. Well, the fact that he has to tell us this means that there will be people or beings or demons that will try to take your freedom away from you. He said, don't let that happen. Stand firm in that freedom. In other words, value your freedom. Appreciate your freedom. Recognize the price that was paid to give you this freedom, and don't ever go back to a life of bondage. Amen? I think a good biblical example for us to understand what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand today is to go back and look at the children of Israel as they came out of bondage in Egypt. You know, the Bible says that God saw their bondage and he heard their cry. They cried out to the Lord after they'd been enslaved by the Egyptians. And of course, God spoke to Moses, raised up Moses, and sent Moses back into Egypt. And we'll pick up the story, and we'll just read a couple of the verses here. In Exodus chapter 5, Moses appears before Pharaoh. And it says here in Exodus 5, verse 1, "Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness.'" Moses came and told Pharaoh, "Let my people go. Let the people of God go." God wants his people free. God wanted his children, his people free in that day. He wants his people free in this day. Amen? Pharaoh answered, though, when Moses came. Verse 2 says, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." Pharaoh said, "I don't know this Lord, this Jehovah that you're talking about. I'm not going to follow his orders. I'm not letting these people go. They belong to me." Do you know the devil will try to take that attitude with you? When you try to stand up and walk in your freedom, he'll say, "Who is this Lord? I don't know this Lord that you're talking about." You know, you have to show the devil who the Lord is. How do you do that? By your faith in him. When you put your trust in God, when you put your faith in his Word, it allows his power to work, and the devil gets a demonstration of who the Lord is. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the next thing that happened then, a couple of the plagues came, and so Pharaoh says, okay, this is the Lord they're talking about. Maybe he means business. And so verse 25 of chapter 8, it says, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and he said, 'All right, go, sacrifice to your God in the land.' So Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Well, what is that like? Well, that's what the devil does. See, the devil tries to get you to compromise. Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of freedom. But a little bit of freedom is not real freedom, is it? Amen? There's a verse in, I believe, the book of Ezra, it talks about, or Nehemiah, where it says that God, it says, they were talking about that God had given them a measure of revival in their bondage. I read that one day and I thought, well, that, you know, that's about where a lot of people settle. They settle for a measure of revival, but they stay in bondage. God wants you to be free. And it wasn't God's plan for them just to go, well, just sacrifice to God here in the land. I'll let you sacrifice to God, but just stay here. Or don't go very far. Don't go very far. You can't compromise. Don't try to start making deals with the devil. You can't compromise with him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So then after 8 plagues had been visited on Egypt, Pharaoh calls them in again. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 7, then Pharaoh's servant said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? So Moses and Aaron were brought in again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go, serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters. And Pharaoh said, no, you're not. Now, you men can go, but the kids are not going with you. The devil says, all right, if you want to be free, fine, but I'm keeping your kids. Moses and Aaron said, no, we're going, and our sons and daughters are going too. Come on, that's the attitude you need to have. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live in the freedom of God, and my sons and daughters are too, devil, and you're not going to stop it. You're not going to keep my sons and daughters. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, and then so then some more plagues come, and so Pharaoh's being broken little by little here. In verse 24, then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. He says, all right, okay, okay. All right, your kids can go too, but you're not taking your stuff. And that's the next place the devil will try to fight you at. That's the next place the devil will try to keep you from experiencing freedom in. It's with your finances, with your money. Yeah, you can go and you can go serve the Lord, but y'all are going to be broke while you do it. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Amen. Amen. That ought to be your attitude. Devil, you're not keeping a hoof. Amen. Glory to God. See, God's plan is that you be free and that you enjoy the benefits of freedom in every area of your life. Amen. Spiritually, with your family, yes. Your health, your finances, and yes, also political freedom. Amen. Because look at what he did with the children of Israel. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and they became a sovereign nation. So God was interested in their political freedom as well. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So let's look at these 4 realms of freedom. The first one, and the greatest and the most important, of course, is spiritual freedom. That's the first one we're going to look at because it's the most important one, and it's the greatest one, and it's the one that supersedes all the other ones. If you don't have this, the rest of them won't matter much to you. Amen? In the end. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's talking about spiritual freedom right there, isn't he? You shall know the truth, and every other freedom springs from this spiritual freedom, actually. Verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? They thought he was talking about political freedom or some other type of freedom. Jesus answered them, verse 34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. He's talking about being free spiritually there. He's talking about spiritual freedom. This spiritual freedom is freedom from the power and the dominion and the guilt of sin. He said, if you're a slave, if you commit sin, then you're a slave of sin and you're not free. He said, but I can make you free. I can make you free. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's real freedom. Amen? The Message Bible says this in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Hallelujah. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Hallelujah. I like that. Amen? Amen. Living in the freedom of God. That's true freedom. That's spiritual freedom where sin is not telling you how to live. So many people live their lives with sin telling them how to live. But we get to live in the freedom of God if we choose to. If we accept salvation, if we accept what Jesus did for us, we can live in the freedom of God, spiritual freedom. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Hallelujah. You know, this illustration is used with this scripture, the law, there's the law of gravity. Anybody ever exercise the law of gravity? It works, doesn't it? I mean, just, you know, there it is right there. You know, I stepped out off the platform and down I went, right? The law of gravity in operation. But, you know, the Wright brothers discovered that there was a law that would supersede the law of gravity, that would override the law of gravity. It's called the law of aerodynamics or the law of lift. And they put that little airplane together out there in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. They flew for 103 feet, I think, was their first flight. But they overcame the law of gravity. Amen. And now, you know, folks get on airplanes and fly, you know, around the world, overcoming the law of gravity. The law of the Spirit of life is a higher law, and it supersedes the law of sin and death. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life makes you free. Glory to God. Isn't it fun to get on an airplane and to be free from the law of gravity? You're free from it, aren't you? The law of gravity has no effect on you when you're flying in that airplane. Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free. The law of sin and death has no effect on you when you're living in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. And also, we're free from the control. Being spiritual freedom means we're free from the control of Satan. Look at Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. This is how the New Living Translation. "For He," Jesus, "He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son," or God the Father has. God the Father has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. That's Satan's authority, Satan's dominion over our lives. And He's transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, verse 14, "who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." So we are free from the control and the dominion of Satan. That's what spiritual freedom is. It is also this. It's freedom from the fear of death. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could He die. And only by dying could He break the power of the devil who had the power of death." Verse 15, look at this now. "Only in this way could He set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying." Do you know what true spiritual freedom means? It means that you are set free from the fear of dying. Do you know when Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of your life? Do you know you don't have to fear death anymore? I remember, you know, it's summertime and a time where we get thunderstorms. I remember as a little kid, before I got saved, I was just thinking about this the other day. I guess maybe I was about 7 or 8 years old, and it just seemed like that July, we just had severe thunderstorms. I don't know, it might not have been any different than any other year, but I would get so afraid because I knew I wasn't saved. And I thought, man, if this lightning comes into this house and strikes me or strikes me when I'm out in the yard playing, I'm going to hell. Now, I wasn't smart enough. I didn't have enough sense to say, hey, why don't I just ask Jesus in my heart right now? I didn't know I could do that. But I remember being afraid of those storms and thinking about that, you know. But after I got saved, I thought, come, bring it on, you know. Yeah. I wasn't afraid of those thunderstorms anymore. Amen. We're set free. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? You're to be free from the fear of dying. Because death, for the believer, is simply stepping through a veil and being in the presence of God. Amen. We prayed for our friend Richard Calhoun when I was down visiting him the other day. He said, Pastor David, he said, several months ago, he said, I got in pretty bad shape. And he said, I thought I was dying. He said, I want you to know, he said, this peace came over me. He said, it was amazing. This wonderful peace came over me. He said, then I started getting better and I got depressed. Glory to God. I thought, man, you know, missed it here. He did. That's what he said. He said, I fell into depression for a few days when I started getting better. He was thinking, here I come, Lord, I'm ready. Amen. Well, glory to God. It's wonderful to have that, isn't it? Free from the fear of death. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And this spiritual freedom, as I said, it supersedes all other conditions. Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, when this was written in Bible times, slavery was common in the time that Paul wrote this to the church in Galatia. Not all men and women were free in the most basic sense. Some people were servants or slaves. But he says that this freedom that a person can have in Jesus Christ, it sets them free even in the midst of being a slave. Even if you're a slave, even if you're in prison, on the inside you can know that you're free. A lot of people are walking around outwardly. They're not in a physical prison. They're not a slave to anyone physically. But on the inside, they're slaves. On the inside, they're in prison. You've been there. You know what that's like. Remember? Remember those days? Remember that time in your life? Thank God. He says there's neither slave nor free. In Christ, this spiritual freedom, it supersedes any other condition in your life. Glory to God. Look at what Paul wrote here to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 21. He says, were you called while a slave? Don't be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. If you can gain your freedom, great, go for it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. You may be a slave outwardly, but if you respond to that call of salvation, you receive Jesus, you receive spiritual freedom, you are the Lord's freedman. Even though outwardly you might be a slave. Hallelujah. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Hallelujah. This spiritual freedom will supersede any outward condition that you may be dealing with or facing, and you can be free on the inside. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to read this passage out of the Message to you. I mean, again, verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 7. Were you a slave? Listen, I like this. Slavery is no roadblock to obeying and believing. You might be a slave outwardly, but that's no roadblock to obeying God, to believing God, and for God to work in your life. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you, well, you can't have that because, or God won't do that for you because. This spiritual freedom eliminates all the because. Amen. Are you out there? Yes. Hallelujah. Slavery is no roadblock to obeying and believing. I don't mean you're stuck and can't leave. If you have a chance at freedom, go ahead and take it. I'm simply trying to point out that under your new master, you're going to experience a marvelous freedom you would never have dreamed of. That's spiritual freedom. Amen. On the other hand, if you were free when Christ called you, you'll experience a delightful enslavement to God. See, being a slave of God, a servant of God, that's not a hard thing. That's not an oppressive thing at all. It's, according to the scripture here, it's a delightful thing. To come under the yoke of Jesus. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's a delightful thing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You will experience a delightful enslavement to God you would never have dreamed of. So spiritual freedom is the first freedom. The second one is political freedom, or we could say this, religious liberty. It's bound up. Maybe political freedom is a bit broader, religious liberty a little bit more narrow within that. But they're certainly tied together. So spiritual freedom is obviously the most important, but another form of freedom or liberty that we've enjoyed in the United States of America, in fact, that's the reason this nation was established, was political or religious liberty. That is the whole reason behind the founding of this nation. Now, especially those of us that were born here and we've known. Man, that's probably the biggest majority of us. I don't know everyone, but most of us, especially those of us that are born here, we've never known anything other than the blessing of political freedom. We often take for granted this precious freedom. You know, I hear people being interviewed and talking on the radio or on television, and they've come out of countries where there was political oppression, where they were oppressed by their government, maybe even imprisoned by their government, and every one of them, without exception, every one of them are so thankful for this nation. Every one of them are so thankful to be here and so thankful. You know the story behind the great song, God Bless America. God Bless America was written by a man named Irving Berlin, and I believe, I think he was a young boy when his family immigrated to America. They were Jewish. And this was in the early 1900s, and they escaped from persecution, religious persecution and oppression in Russia, and they came to America. And his mother would just walk around in their apartment as she did her work and her family chores, and she would say, God bless America, God bless America. She was so thankful for the opportunity and for the freedom that she and her family now had living in this great country that she did not have under the oppression that she experienced in Russia. Hallelujah. We don't appreciate it too often, the freedom that we have. I want to recommend to you that you go. There's a movie that's coming out this Wednesday called America. It's produced by Dinesh D'Souza. Some of you may have seen his first movie. Came out a couple years ago. I would encourage you to go see this movie, America. It comes out this Wednesday. And then they didn't pay me to say that. But I would encourage you to go and see it. And it would help you and take your family. It would help you to appreciate the freedom that you have living in this country. 238 years ago, a group of 56 men known as the Continental Congress, they gathered in the city of Philadelphia. And they took a very bold and courageous step. They declared that the colonies that they represented, which were under British rule, were free and independent. And they signed this document on July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence. Here's how this document begins. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Those were radical statements in that day. And those statements are the foundation of the political and religious liberty that we have today and that we've enjoyed for 238 years in this experiment that is the United States of America. Radical statements and bold statements that they made. All men are created equal. All people are created equal, they declared. They're endowed by their Creator. They're not granted by the state. They're not granted by the government, but they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. It's a right no man and no government can take away. It's granted to them by God. Amen. Hallelujah. These rights are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And they announced that day, the role of government is to secure these rights and to make sure that people have these rights afforded to them. It's not the role of government to grant these rights because they don't come from government, they come from God. It's not the role of government to usurp these rights or to try to control these rights. Hallelujah. Radical, radical statements. Bold steps that they took. Hallelujah. And what they said and what they did grew out of, you have to understand what had just happened in these colonies, these 13 colonies at that time. There had been a period of about 30 or 40 years that was known in history as the Great Awakening. It was a great spiritual awakening and a great turning to God in this nation. And these statements, this declaration was birthed out of these men whose heart had been awakened to the truth of God and the reality of God. Hallelujah. It was rooted in that revelation. Praise God. So the freedoms that we enjoy, and I don't want us to minimize political freedom. It's important. Now, again, the gospel works in every nation. That's the beautiful thing about the gospel and the Word of God. So no matter what government or what political system a person may be under, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. And a person can hear that gospel and experience spiritual freedom, even under a repressive and oppressive government. And we've witnessed it happening and taking place in China, in the former Soviet Union, and many other nations, every nation of the world. The gospel works. And that spiritual freedom supersedes these other freedoms. But this political freedom is not one to be taken for granted. Amen. And beloved, it's not one to be given up. Amen? Amen? It's not one to be surrendered. Hallelujah. Amen. So the freedoms that we enjoy in this nation, freedom of religion. Now, freedom of religion is larger. It doesn't just mean freedom of worship. It doesn't just mean that we can get in our cars and we can come and park in the parking lot and come into the building and sing some songs and listen to a message and go home. That's not freedom of religion. That's maybe freedom of worship. Freedom of religion is bigger. Freedom of religion, it means that we're free to live out our faith in the public arena. It means that we can be salt and light and that we can let the light of Jesus shine through us to our community and to our world and to our sphere of influence. That's what religious liberty is. And that's being threatened and that's under attack in our nation. We have to stand up for that. We have to stand up for religious freedom and religious liberty. We need to appreciate it. We need to understand what it is. We need to pass it along to our children. Amen? Hallelujah. Patrick Henry said this. You know, Patrick Henry, the guy that said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He was known as the orator of the revolution, or the orator of the revolution. Listen to what he said. "It cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often." So I'm telling you again. here 240-something years after he said it. It cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. Hallelujah. That's what Patrick Henry said. This nation was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the fact that we have freedom of religion, that doesn't mean freedom from religion, by the way. Now, if a person chooses not to serve God, they're free to do that in this country, certainly. But it doesn't mean that we should eliminate any of the influence of God or the Bible or Christianity out of our nation. It doesn't mean that Christians should back off into a corner and say, excuse us, we're sorry. We don't mean to offend. Amen. Doesn't mean that. Amen. What Patrick Henry is saying here, that because of Christianity, because of the influence of Christianity, then people of other nations and other religions have been able to find asylum here. And they've been able to have freedom of worship here. It's a wonderful system that our founding fathers created. Amen. Through the wisdom of God, I believe. Many other freedoms we enjoy, they're summarized by in a statement and some words by Dr. Ben Carson, one of my modern day heroes. I appreciate him. And I want to read just a brief excerpt out of his book, America the Beautiful. This will summarize some of the other freedoms that we enjoy because of political freedom in this nation. He said, when I was 8 years old, I told my mother that I wanted to be a doctor. Benny, she said, you can be anything in this world you want to be. Although it was an arduous road filled with obstacles and grueling hours, I was able to realize my dream because of the generous freedoms we enjoy here in our nation. And it is this ability of anyone to achieve their dreams that is perhaps the greatest thing about America. There are few places in the world where people enjoy the level of freedom we have in America. Here, you don't have to ask anyone's permission to start a new career or move to a new location. You are free to associate with whomever you please, and you are free to speak your mind if you decide not to allow yourself to be constrained by political correctness. If you have a fabulous idea, you are free to put as much time and effort into it as you like. And if that idea results in a financial windfall, you are entitled to spend your money to your heart's desire after you've paid your taxes, of course. You can worship however you choose without fear of persecution. Even the poorest people in our society live like kings compared to billions of desperately poor people throughout the world. Why do we enjoy all of these and many more blessings? It is largely because we have a representative government that respects the rights of its citizens and protects the life and property of its citizens, and because we have a military powerful enough to defend us against intruders. It is because we have a free market economy that, when unfettered, acts as an economic engine more powerful than any the world has ever seen. Most importantly, we have a nation of faith, so bold that we are willing to proclaim, "In God we trust," on every coin in our pockets and every bill in our wallets. We have enjoyed the blessings of the Almighty from the time when He aided a fledgling group of militiamen in defeating the most powerful empire on the earth up until the present, as He protects us from unimaginable terrorist threats. There never has been and probably never will again be another place like America the Beautiful. Thank God. Thank God for this nation. Thank God for the freedoms that we have in our nation. Amen? Amen? Let's move on to the next one. The next one is physical and emotional freedom. Spiritual freedom, political freedom, but let's look briefly here at physical and emotional freedom. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord is the Old Testament year of Jubilee. And the Jews, God had had set it up with the Jews where every 7 years there would be a release of debts, and every 50th year there'd be a major release of debts, known as the year of Jubilee, where people were set free, where those people that were in debt, those debts were canceled, and where people that were slaves were set free. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, I'm here to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In fact, there's a scripture, Leviticus 25 and verse 10, and I believe is the scripture where God talks about that, and it says, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. Is that 25:10? And you know where that verse is inscribed? It's inscribed on our Liberty Bell. You ever looked at the Liberty Bell? That's the scripture that's on it. Praise God. But Jesus said, I've come. He said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captive and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He's talking about those who are oppressed physically, those who are tormented and oppressed in their souls, in their emotions. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He came to proclaim liberty to those who were captive in body and mind. And He wants to set at liberty still today all those who are oppressed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love the Christmas song, Christmas carol, O Holy Night. I love that phrase in that song. It says, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Amen. Oh, thank God. It's true today. I said it's true today. In His name all oppression shall cease. Robin was reading you a scripture from Revelation 19. One day when Jesus comes back to rule on this earth, all oppression shall cease on the earth. Every bit of it. He's going to make everything right. Praise God. But today in your life, through the power of His name, all oppression can cease. Physical oppression and sickness can cease. Mental oppression and brokenheartedness can cease through His name. He came to proclaim freedom, liberty to the captive, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Amen? In Luke chapter 13, we see an example of Him doing this. In Luke 13:10, now He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. What is He doing? He's proclaiming liberty to the captive. That's what He said He came to do. He's doing it to her right now. Right then, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Hallelujah. And verse 13, and He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Hallelujah. Jesus brought physical freedom to that woman. Amen? Amen. Verse 16, He said this, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Jesus wants you to be loosed from every physical infirmity, from every physical oppression, sickness, disease, pain, weakness, infirmity in your body is not from God. It is oppression. Jesus went about in Acts 10:38, it says He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. The devil is the oppressor. Jesus is the deliverer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So we can experience physical freedom. You don't have to be bound in your thinking and your thoughts, tormented and depressed. Jesus came to set you free from emotional bondage. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
From mental torment. He came to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. God wants you to live in this realm of physical and emotional freedom. He wants you to enjoy it. Amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. The last one, the fourth one, is financial freedom. Now, the devil will really fight you on this one. Like we said, you know, Pharaoh said, you know, you can go, your children can go, but you're not taking the stuff with you. Well, guess what happened? They ended up not only taking their stuff, but all of Egypt's stuff. So don't mess with us, devil. And God's going to do that again. I said, God is going to do that again. Hallelujah. He's going to do that in our day. Amen. I believe that. Praise God. The devil wants to keep you poor. and keep your influence on the earth small. Did you hear that? I said the devil wants to keep you poor so that he can keep your influence in the earth small. But God wants you to live in financial freedom. See, Jesus paid for that too. Did you know that? I said, did you know that? Amen. Well, let me remind you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So he's not talking about money there. Oh, yes, he is. All of chapter 8 and all of chapter 9, he's talking about money. Amen. I said all of chapter 8 and all of chapter 9, he's talking about finances. He's talking about money. Amen. So if you keep that in context, Jesus, though he was rich, yet for your sake, for my sake, he became poor. He was stripped of every earthly possession. He was doing that as our substitute and in a great exchange so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Amen. Rich means a full supply. Hallelujah. God wants you to have a full supply. I said God wants you to have a full supply. God does not want you lacking. The young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing, the psalmist said. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians, now some people think about when you say financial freedom, that means that they've got so much money they don't have to trust God anymore. You should never allow yourself to get in that position. Now you can get a lot of money, but keep trusting God. The Bible says we shouldn't put our hope in uncertain riches, but in the living God. We should put our trust in the living God. Amen. He says, command those, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to put their trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. Amen. God will give you all things to enjoy. Not just all, not to, well, to barely scrape by and get, no, all things to enjoy, he said. But here's God's definition of financial freedom. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Read it out of the, this is in the Amplified. I would encourage you to make sure you have this. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, go online, go to Bible Gateway, and you can just print this verse off and keep it in your Bible. Listen to this. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. God is able to make every earthly blessing, every financial blessing, come to you how? In abundance. So that you may always, everybody say always. And under all circumstances, everybody say all circumstances. And whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. That's God's will for you and me. I said that's God's will for you and me. Hallelujah. God wants you living in this place. This is financial freedom. He's making all grace abound toward you so that you always, under all circumstances and whatever the need, you're self-sufficient. You've got the need is met. Amen. Possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance. It's sad to see what has happened in our nation. That so many in our nation are becoming dependent on the government. Record numbers of people on food stamps, record numbers of people on unemployment, record numbers of people on disability. Now, if you need that, I'm not against you having it. I'm not preaching against that. But my point is this, never become dependent on the government or any other source except God. That's financial freedom. Be dependent on Him. Look to Him. Amen. Put your faith in Him. Why? He wants to prosper you. Yes. I said He wants to prosper you. Amen? Amen. So let's wrap this up. So what do we do then? What do we do with this freedom? These four realms of freedom. What do we do? Is it just for us to have fun with ourselves? Is it just to bless our lives? No. Well, there's a bigger purpose. There's a bigger purpose. Galatians 5:13. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Amen. He said, you've been called to liberty. You've been called to freedom. But don't use that liberty or that freedom as an opportunity to indulge your flesh. Through love, serve one another. The Message Bible says it this way. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to live a free life. I'm going to say that again. Some of you didn't get that. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to live a free life. Free, spiritually free, politically free, free in your body, free in your mind and your emotions, and free financially. It's absolutely clear that God has called you to live a free life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Now, this applies to every realm of freedom. We see how it applies to spiritual freedom in our country. You know, the idea of freedom, the idea that I'm free to choose and I'm free to express myself and I have freedom of speech and all of this, it's really a dangerous thing, isn't it? And you know, our founding fathers understood that. Our founding fathers understood that this bold step that they were taking in setting up a country where the people would enjoy so much freedom, that there was potential danger in that. That's why John Adams said this. He said this, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. He said, you give people this kind of freedom to be free to choose and live and do as they please, and you don't couple that with morality. He said, you've got a dangerous situation here. But they were willing to take that step. That's why the role of the church, that's why the role of Christianity is so vital and so important in our nation. Because it's the influence of Christianity that preserves freedom, true freedom and liberty in this nation. It's the role of Christianity and biblical principles that keeps these principles of freedom from caving in on themselves when there's the absence of any morality. Amen? Do you get that?
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
Amen. That's why we need to stand up and speak up in these issues and in these ways. So, as those who have been made free in our spirit, our sins washed away, we've been made righteous. Let's pass this good news of freedom along to others. We've got a responsibility to do that, don't
Amen.
We?
Yes.
You've been given spiritual freedom. Pass it along to other people.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Knowing that we're free from Satan's dominion and control, let's use our authority in Christ to break His power
Amen.
Over the lives of
yes.
others. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Let's take these bodies and minds that have been made free from the oppression of the devil. And let's offer them to God, as it says in Romans, as living sacrifices. Amen?
Amen?
Let's use our resources and our financial freedom to be generous, to spread the gospel, and to expand and advance the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
I'll leave you with this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. He says, live, this is out of God's Word translation, live as free people. God wants you to live as a free person. Amen? Spiritually free. Free in your mind and your emotions. Free enjoying the benefits of political freedom and religious liberty. Live as free people. But don't hide behind your freedom when you do evil. Instead, use your freedom to serve God. Use your freedom. That's the greatest thing we can do. Use your freedom. Use your freedom to serve God. You know, the children of Israel, freedom is a challenging thing. And there is responsibility with it. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, and there they are in the wilderness, with nothing but them and God. They had to depend on God for their every meal, didn't they? They had to depend on God for their existence and for everything. And you know, some of them started crying out and said, "Let's go back to Egypt. At least we knew where our next meal was coming from. We were slaves, but we knew, you know, freedom can be challenging." That's why in our nation as well, that's why that there's not equality of outcome. We can't guarantee the outcome. That's why it's wrong for us to try to say, well, the government should provide all this and all this and all this. Yeah, there are things the government should do, but we can't, the government should not guarantee outcome, but what the government should do is to secure the guarantee for people of equal opportunity. What you do with it, what you do with that opportunity is up to you. Amen? So freedom is a scary thing. It's a challenging thing. But God wants us to live as free people. Amen?